and unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in the 100,000 myriad doubtless. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. In India, many centuries ago, there was a monk named Shantideva, and he wrote a religious tract which is called The Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And a very memorable quote from that document goes like this: "This thought of enlightenment has arisen within me, I know not how. It is as a blind man who finds a jewel in a dung heap. This little series of talks that I'm doing is fundamentally about how we find that jewel in the dung heap. It isn't an accident. And while I don't pretend to know any more than Shantideva did about how this miraculous event happens, nonetheless, I can say a few things about how it comes to be. It's not uncommon for new monks in our tradition to get some glimpses of the very dark aspects of their karmic inheritance. Not infrequently, this includes glimpses of some of one's past life inheritance. And for most people, the darker aspects of their karmic inheritance are to be found in the past lives. That shouldn't be surprising, since there's a lot more past life history than there is present life history. And a lot of things have happened in that past life history. Even if some very, very unpleasant and dark things happen in one's present life, there simply isn't the time that there is in that past life inheritance that stretches back for eons. Now, I think that the reasons why this is a common experience for people in their first years of training as a monk are very profound. I won't attempt to plumb that profundity in these talks. I think there's more than one reason. But one of the reasons, I think, is that it is a way in which a message can be conveyed to us. A message that is very difficult to convey in any other way. That message goes something like this: in becoming a monk, you have said, whether you know it or not, that you were willing to undertake the conversion of all of your karma, that you're willing to pay whatever price must be paid in order to do this, that you're willing to undergo whatever you need to undergo in order to do this. Even though you have undertaken this, You can always walk away. You're not forced to do this. However, once you have opened the door, you cannot expect that you can just slam it and put a stop to the process that was set in motion when you opened that door. And that will be true whether you continue as a monk or whether you attempt to walk away from it at any point. So having said that you're willing to undergo this process of conversion, here are some of the roots of your suffering. Here are some of the things that need to be worked on. Here is some of the darkness that needs to find the help of the eternal through the vehicle of your training and indeed your very life. And so it shouldn't be surprising that one is shown frequently, perhaps not in all cases, some very dark things. Some of them may be seen very clearly. Much of it may be more just expressed in somewhat inexplicable feelings of despair or terror, rage, profound grief, insecurity, and so on. Of course, I was a young monk many years ago, and I'm speaking from experience. My very first experience of past life karma happened in the first few months after my ordination, and it was an experience that happened in a flash of memory and a flash of utter terror, memory of being pounced on by a wolf-like creature. However, I also experienced immediately after this memory that my level of fear diminished. It diminished substantially. And so right there I got a little lesson, both in the dark nature of some of my karmic inheritance, and also what happens when one trains with it. Within a few years I'd had a number of other very intense, brief experiences in which something from the past life inheritance was remembered. And these were part of the process that culminated in my Kensho in the month of February in 1977. Even such an experience as that is no guarantee that one will continue on in one's training in fulfillment of that intention that was implicit in one's becoming a monk in the first place. Over the years, I've seen many people have a very fine Kensho in the early years, and then at some point walk away from monastic training. And that door is always open. We are never forced to do this. However, my own reaction, whenever people have done this, is one of profound sadness. Nonetheless, I'm not lacking in sympathy for why anyone does that, because I know much more now than I knew 40 years ago about how much there is in one person's karmic inheritance, how difficult it can be, and how lonely that process can be at times. And even in that aloneness, even still in that aloneness, we can benefit tremendously from the sympathy, the compassion, the steadfastness, the faith, the wisdom of others. These two things don't stand against one another. They're complementary truths. We walk alone and we walk with others. Those glimpses of the karmic past help explain why we live in the kind of world that we live in. It is very important to understand that the extremity of the spiritual need that was manifested and exacerbated in these horrific events in the past cannot be solved, resolved, and healed by just putting some kind of well-intentioned band-aid on it. It is going to keep manifesting in lifetime after lifetime in various forms of existence until it is truly resolved and healed and fulfilled, until it is truly enlightened. And if one wonders, why is there such confusion and violence in this human realm? It is because it is not just one or two or three or five or 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people who have such karmic inheritance. It's all of us. There's reason why people have nightmares. This is the dung heap within which Shantideva found a jewel. A dung heap is a good metaphor. To say that something is a dung heap is not to say that it's utterly useless. In fact, if you do a little composting of that dung and dig it into a garden, you can grow a wonderful garden full of beautiful flowers and nourishing plants. The dung heap of our karmic past is the raw material of enlightenment. It is the mud within which, or from which, the lotus plant can grow and the lotus blossom one day open to the sun of the eternal. The fundamental nature of the dung heap cannot be changed because it is made up of karmic cause and karmic consequence. It is made up of cause and effect. The fundamental nature of any realm of rebirth cannot be changed because it is made up of karmic consequence. However, any time that any individual makes that resolve to undergo the process of spiritual conversion, to bring all of that mass of spiritual dung that he or she has inherited to the help of the eternal, to the compassion and wisdom of the eternal, so that it can be healed and enlightened, so that its need can be met. Anytime one undertakes this and persists in it until the end, so that all that need can be converted, a very great jewel indeed manifests within the midst of the dung heap.